Life just got a little better, thanks to Merryman Herbs.
Welcome to Merryman Herbs, it's a better life show. Listen every first and third Sunday at 2 p.m. on this station for the latest in holistic, natural, and alternative health information. Mike King will bring you up-to-date, scientifically-based health news and fun and interesting health tips, plus interviews with some of the leading doctors, scientists, and nutritional representatives in the country. Stay on top of your health and start getting a better life.
Life just got a little better, thanks to Merryman Herbs.
And now here's Mike King. The following information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Always seek the advice of your qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Today's interesting health tips and trends and fun fact. The first one is, after age 18, you lose more than 1,000 brain cells per day. Women utter approximately 7,000 words a day. Men, only about 2,000. 11% of the U.S. population is left-handed. Inhaling the aroma of both peppermint and cinnamon can help lower anxiety levels and frustration. Have you ever had ice cream brain? That's because intense cold can cause blood vessels to spasm. This interrupts blood flow to the brain and causes the vessels to swell, leading to extreme but temporary pain. Back pain is the second most common pain complaint. Headaches are the first. Fingernails grow 4 times faster than toenails. And did you know most people have lost about 50% of their taste buds by age 60? And most of your body's power lies in your mouth, as your strongest muscle is your tongue and your hardest bone is your jawbone. Today we have with us Bruce Topping. He's the National Educator for Garden of Life. How you doing, Bruce?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Great. We're going to be talking about acid reflux and, you know, all the things that are involved with that. I know a lot of people take the proton pump inhibitors for that. That's like the first thing they go to, but we're finding that that has a lot of common adverse effects, and we'll be talking about that. I can give you a list. But Bruce, what is the cause? What's really causing? I've read so many things about, you know, what causes acid reflux. What is the cause of it?
Yeah, there's a lot of debate about this. And it is, as you said, it's, you know, really common. In fact, it's the most common digestive disorder in the U.S., according to all these statistics. And yeah, there's many people who think it's caused by too much acid. You know,
right.
If you watch TV, they present the idea every day that it's just caused by too much acid, and that they almost make it sound like it's caused by a deficiency of proton pump inhibitor drugs.
Yeah.
That you just didn't take enough of our Prilosec.
Right.
That's why
right.
You've got heartburn. But really, I think what is emerging is that the evidence is clear. Most people who have heartburn are not making high acid. It's actually pretty rare to make too much acid. And some of those patients are actually found to produce lower levels of hydrochloric acid in their stomach, which is sort of a medical mystery in a
right.
lot of people's minds. Like, how could I have low acid in my stomach?
Right.
And
well,
yet acid
I know
regurgitating into my esophagus.
Yeah,
how
I mean, you got the pain. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. But I know Dr. Wright, I think, wrote a book.
That's right.
And it's highly documented in there. And basically, he scientifically concluded that the acid reflux actually is due to low acid because your stomach doesn't empty properly. And then, you know, I think you can explain how all that likes to come back up. And
yeah.
It's actually a problem with the what we call the lower esophageal sphincter.
That's right.
I call him LESS, the acronym LES. So explain that to us.
Yeah, so, I mean, many people have heard of leaky gut before.
Right.
Where the cells in the epithelial lining of the intestine, they're held together by these little protein bonds called tight junctions. And if those junctions become disrupted, then particles that shouldn't be absorbed make their way through the lining of the intestine and they get to the bloodstream. And, of course, many people are familiar with that, how it's linked to autoimmune disease,
right.
how it's linked to all these other problems. But now, leaky esophagus. Right? It's kind of a similar concept.
Oh, okay.
It's normal for acid and stomach contents to reflux a little bit into the esophagus occasionally. You know, in a healthy esophagus, this acid is not supposed to penetrate the cell membrane of the epithelium. It's, you know, the tight junctions, those little proteins, are supposed to keep that acid from getting in between the cells.
Okay.
And what's really going on, if those tight junctions are disrupted, then the acid can make its way between the epithelial cells, and it makes them, you know, decreases the pH of the intracellular space, meaning it gets really acidified in there. And since even small pH changes in this area are threatening to the body, there are pain receptors located close to the epithelial lining, and they send those signals to the brain that say, ouch, this
yeah.
hurts.
Oh, yeah. You can feel it.
So,
I know.
You know, these are interpreted as heartburn. And, you know, it's unsurprisingly
okay.
that patients with, you know, reflux who receive this test, you know, if they do the Bernstein test, they'll put a little tube down your nose. It's really
right.
unpleasant. and they'll drip acid into your esophagus. And a lot of people, most people, will not feel anything. It will not burn them at all.
Hmm.
But people with, you know, who have gastroesophageal reflux disease, there's erosion to that lining. The tight junctions are breaking down, and now even a little bit of drip of acid causes extreme discomfort almost immediately.
Oh, sure. It's kind of like poking your finger in a wound.
Yeah. So it's kind of, I guess, what's really going on then is that there's a lot of times it seems that there's a low acid,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the low acid allows the growth of kind of an overgrowth of bacteria and fungus.
Okay.
And then the foods kind of sit there for a lot longer than they should.
And ferment.
That's right. I mean, what people don't know about acid is that it has two kind of fundamental roles. And number one, it prevents the growth of fungus and other bacteria.
Right.
So it's a critical barrier to prevent the growth of all those critters.
Right. And I've always said that there's, you know, the acid in your stomach, you know, we all know that it's for digesting your food, but it's also as a barrier to pathogens to keep things from getting into the lower digestive system.
That's so true. And if you're on one of those antacid drugs, or if you're on, you know, if you just have low acid, maybe because of low thyroid, maybe because of H. pylori, which
right.
is a growth in the stomach, you know, for various reasons, if you have low acid, then you're wide open for parasites and infections. And I mean, yeah, it's scary how really hydrochloric acid is like a critical part of our immune system, it turns out. And so what's happening for a lot of people is they have low acid, and then the acids basically can't defend the fungus and bacteria from growing, so their stomach becomes overgrown. And number two, the foods don't drain properly. You know, we need the acids to basically grind up and hydrolyze
right.
and chop all the proteins and fibers and sugars into really small components.
And the minerals?
That's
so
right.
So you can get the
can't
absorption
break
of the
down minerals?
Minerals
without acid
right.
or protein.
Okay, so you're, again, okay, it's for digestion, but it's also the acid, and you said this, the acid is part of our immune system.
It's crazy to think about it that way.
Who would have thought that? Yeah.
But that's actually how I think about it. I think of the acid as one of the primary tools of our very own immune system.
Right.
And then what's happening then is that we've kind of set the stage where a lot of people have low acid,
mm-hmm.
where the foods are not draining, and they have a lot of critters growing in the stomach.
Oh,
so
boy.
So if you have starches and sugars sitting at 95 degrees for
right.
hours with lots of fungus, they're going to ferment.
Oh, wow. Okay, so let's kind of do a little review here. If you have low acid, so I've got a listing here of the most common adverse effects of the proton pump inhibitors. So you keep that acid low, this is what's going to happen. You're going to have a blockage of release of the glycoprotein called intrinsic factor, making it impossible to absorb vitamin B12. Dietary iron is inhibited, contributing to over an extended period, possibly to anemia. Calcium absorption is greatly reduced due to the reduced acid levels. Active transport of magnesium in the intestine is inhibited, leading to deficiencies and potentially serious health consequences. Absorption of folic acid could be inhibited, and that would disrupt production of new cells needed for body growth and repair. There is an impaired absorption of zinc, which is needed for, you know, a host of enzyme reactions in the body. There's an increased risk of osteoporosis and bone fractures of any type, including wrists, spine, and hip. And I can't tell you how many customers I see that have been on these proton pump inhibitors for, you know, 3, 4, 5 years, and they all have osteopenia, osteoporosis, and they don't know why. And it's like, well, you're not able to absorb your calcium.
Yeah.
And again, just like what we were saying, here we go. Higher risk of infection, including pneumonia and C. difficile, from decreased acid secretion and possibly from undigested food reaching the intestines and contributing to an increased toxins and an imbalance of gut flora. And then the worst thing about all this is if you do try to get off the proton pump inhibitor, the drug, there's a withdrawal-induced rebound acid hypersecretion forcing a return to drug usage. So you have this horrible withdrawal.
Terrible.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, you did it even better than I do, Mike. When I do these trainings, I usually just say four things. Number one,
okay.
low acid increases bacterial overgrowth.
Right.
Number two, it impairs nutrient absorption. And you mentioned the B12 one is profound.
Well, yeah, because that'll lead to Alzheimer's, senile dementia.
Yes.
Yeah.
Low B12 status is
right.
just a deal breaker. And
yes.
You're guaranteed to have your B12 go down the drain. So that's
yeah.
number two. Number three, decreased resistance to infection. A lot of parasites, a lot of mold,
no.
a lot of fungus, a lot
Yuck.
Of protozoa. They're
right.
all going to grow. And number four, increased risk of cancer and other diseases. You mentioned the bone mineral density stuff.
Right.
I mean, what people should know, I want to really hammer this on your show today.
Good. Go. Go
These
for it.
These drugs are only designed for 6 weeks. Let me repeat that. All of these proton pump inhibitor drugs, you know, the Nexium,
yes.
the Provacol,
right.
all these, and the H2 blockers, the Zantac.
It's in the literature.
The whole thing.
Right.
These are designed for a maximum time of 6 weeks. And let me ask you, Mike, have you ever met anybody who was on these for less than 6 weeks?
Unfortunately, no. And,
no,
and I'm so surprised because, you know, I'm like, does your doctor, did they
go to medical
pharmacist?
School? Did they read the literature?
Yeah.
Did they talk to a pharmacist, for God's sake,
right.
before they put people on these serious drugs? And,
right.
and the studies are mounting. I mean, we just
yeah.
went through them, but
right.
one just got published in April about what happens to people when they're on these drugs for long periods of
right,
time, and it's
right.
just the same things you mentioned. Their minds go out the window, their energy levels go down the drain, their bones fall apart. I mean, everything
yeah.
just falls apart.
Right, right. Well, you know, and again, it's in the literature. Usually, you know, you would take a proton pump inhibitor for a quick fix to get
yeah.
that healed up. I mean, I think that's the idea behind
yep.
it. But long-term use of these products, again, we're seeing devastation to your health. So,
and
what,
babies. I want to mention that
yeah.
the sales for the antacids for infants and newborns
oh,
has
no.
increased about 3,000%.
I didn't realize.
Years.
So they're giving them to children now?
Oh, big time. It's a huge business now to give these antacid proton pump inhibiting drugs to babies who are having reflux symptoms,
right.
like spitting up.
Oh, okay. So, you know, your little baby's, you know, spitting up.
Yeah.
And then, oh my gosh, I didn't realize. Oh, that's.
Oh, it's now a big business. And it just
wow.
destroys their chance of having a healthy, you know, development.
Right. Yeah. Because they're not going to be able to get their nutrients properly.
Yeah.
So,
and,
wow.
And I want to mention the connection with the thyroid. This is something that does
okay.
not get
okay.
talked about enough. That when people have low acid, one of the first things I would want to do, if I were, you know, their health coach or their wellness practitioner,
right.
I would want to go rule out major hypothyroid. And you can't often do that with a regular doctor because regular doctors don't know beans about the thyroid, and they'll only test
right.
the gland in the most cursory way, and they'll tell you almost always, you're fine, go home, thyroid's
yeah.
normal.
Yeah, the T4 test is
That's
really
right.
the TSH.
Yeah, if you just
and,
run a T4 or a TSH
yeah.
test, those
There's,
don't pick up the
yeah.
actual problems. They're not testing the conversion of all those hormones. They're only looking at the gland.
Yeah, there's actually a really nice website you can go to about the thyroid, and I can make that available to people if they want to give me a call out at Mary Man, and it's got all the tests that your doctor should look at for your thyroid. So that the thyroid can affect this acid reflux, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, what people don't know about the thyroid is that it's kind of the speed control for, like, everything in the body.
Right, right, it's
so
your thermostat, right.
If you have a sluggish
right.
thyroid, all the signals that secrete, you know, all those hormone signals that drive the production of hydrochloric acid and the production of pancreatic enzymes and the production of bile and the production of bicarbonates. And, you know, there's all these little signals and tools that our digestive machinery uses. It's not as simple as somebody might think. It's not just like a grinding and churning and then dumping it into your blood.
That's, right.
There's a lot of chemical reactions that have to occur with our food before it's ingested into our blood. So it's just, you know, this, one of these things that people don't understand is that when they have a low thyroid, it kind of makes everything slow. And then once there's low acid, I think then H. pylori start to grow, and they
right.
further suppress acid, creating a vicious cycle that's hard to get out of.
So actually, if you're having some acid reflux problems, one of the things you would want to look at is maybe your thyroid, and then what?
An H. pylori test.
The bacteria, right. And that can lead to ulcers. We know that's the leading cause of ulcers, 80%.
That's exactly right. And officially, it's the leading infection in human beings on planet Earth. They say that
oh, really?
More humans
yeah.
are infected with H. pylori than any other single infection, whether it's, you know, enterococcus
right.
or staph or strep or candida or, you know, any other single infection, officially, according to the World Health Organization, H. pylori is number one.
Wow. Yeah, I think most everybody has a little
yeah.
bit of it, but it's kept in check. So
they're talking about overgrowth. So, yeah,
right,
we all
right.
have H. pylori. It's
right.
a commensal strain. It should be part of the human body.
Right.
It's just that for a lot of Americans, and we're talking millions, the growth of H. pylori in their stomach has gotten way out of whack, and now these H. pylori, these helicobacters, are shutting down and suppressing our stomach acid, which sets us up for all the things you mentioned.
Oh, wow. Okay, so, you know, your company has a lot of really unique products and everything, and I know you guys are really on top of this. The first thing that comes to my mind is, you know, to kill the bad bacteria, the Colobacteria pylori, you would use good bacteria, the probiotics. And so what's the whole regimen here? I'm
so
sure you've got something.
I like the 4 R's. I'm a big fan of Dr. Karazian and a few others, and they use this protocol called the 4 R's.
Okay.
Because each step begins with R. The first one is remove, right? We got to remove the flours and the sugars and the fermentable
dairy. Diet,
you know, it's hard to kill the enemy when you're reinforcing them every day.
When you're feeding it, yeah.
So that's number one. That's simple. You know, like a lot of people, if they're the flour is usually the hard part because it's pasta, pizza, sandwiches, cereal. And it's not that we're telling them they can never eat that the rest of their life. We're telling them that during this 2 weeks, 3 weeks, when they're healing the gut, cut off the flour and the sugar and the damaged oils and fried foods and sugars.
Okay.
That's number one. Number two is re-inoculate. And this, to me, I'm a big fan of taking a probiotic, a serious probiotic.
Okay.
I tell people, don't price shop your probiotic. If you walk in and, you know, if you go to Mary Mann and they're, you know, they're going to find more expensive options than at Walmart or at the drugstore.
Right.
But what you get at the drugstore is cut rate with low cell counts, with no studied strains that aren't shipped cold. That, you know, I mean, it's night and day.
Right.
It really is. So I recommend at least 50 billion cells per day. So when you come into a store like Mary Mann and you look at the probiotic selection in the cooler, look for one that has enough potency of good bacteria, and they'll measure them in billions.
Okay.
And I like to usually recommend at least 50 billion for somebody who's battling reflux, because we're trying to do more than just, you know, put a little good bacteria in there. We're trying to shift the whole ecology of their colon.
Oh, wow. Yeah, exactly.
We want good acid secretors, enzyme secretors. We want strains that kill off all the fungus and mold and parasites. I mean, we want to do something there.
So you're going to have a lot of different species or varieties of the probiotics, and you're going to have a massive amount of the colony-forming units, or you're talking like 50 billion.
Yeah,
so exactly. You're going to really do a lot now. Just real quickly, I know people are probably going to have a detox, and we've talked about this before, but you know, there's a lot of things you can do. You can go slow, drink a lot of water, and then there's I think you've got a product that's Perfect Food?
Yeah, Perfect Food. We make one called Perfect Food Alkalizer and Detoxifier.
Okay, and that'll kind of absorb everything. Absorb up those toxins and help your body.
You can use bentonite clay for absorbing some of those toxins, or activated charcoal, some people like.
Yeah.
I mean, there's many ways of... What we're talking about is that when you send in the acid-secreting good guys, they tend to kill off some of the spores and bad microbes, and we end up chopping them into little fragments. And the little fragments themselves are potent toxins that are actually well-studied for the last 20 years. And so we got to prevent those endotoxins from getting, you know, all the little components of their cell wall, that is, from being absorbed into the portal circulation and affecting other glands and organs in our body.
Right.
You
don't want that in. Yeah, you want to get that out of your, what we will call your gut.
Yep.
Get that out of your digestive system as quickly as possible. As this good bacteria basically destroys the bad bacteria, you want to get it out as quickly as possible so you don't get uncomfortable.
That's right. So make sure you're not dehydrated. That's a really good recommendation.
Yeah, I always tell everybody, drink a lot of water.
Key.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's step two, is re-inoculate, start changing the ecosystem of the gut.
Okay, third
step
R.
Third R is replace. And this is where sometimes I'm a big fan of using betaine. This is stomach acid.
The betaine hydrochloride.
That's right. And this is something Garden of Life does not make. So let me be clear that my trainings are more than just selling product. This is about trying to restore quality of life.
Sure. We do sell some good betaine hydrochloride products.
Oh, I know
products.
You do. Yeah. I've been to your store.
Yeah.
So the deal is that, you know, betaine is something you cannot take if you have ulcers. You cannot take if you're on any steroid medications like aspirin or Tylenol or ibuprofen.
Good to know.
You cannot take it if you've had a history of gastritis. You know, in other words, you know, if your stomach lining is really thin and raw and inflamed, then you can't handle the acid.
Okay.
And that means that you'll need to begin by healing the stomach wall before you can start challenging with the acids that you will ultimately need to heal.
Right. Well, first thing that comes to my mind is aloe, but I bet you've got something even better.
Oh, I love aloe. I mean, I think DGL, like the licorice preparation, can be really effective. And I like to have people eat like 20 of them a day.
Wow.
I know that sounds crazy, but the people I've worked with who really get results are the ones who like keep the bottle of chocolate or mint-flavored DGL wafers by their desk, and they just sit there and eat them like candy. Because what we're doing is we're trying to affect a repairing of the stomach lining. And the stomach is not a mamby-pamby organ. We're talking 4 or 5 millimeters thick with ridges that grind and churn. It's really a serious organ.
Very tough.
It's tough. And a lot of people's stomach is no longer as tough. And so we need to toughen it. And that's what DGL and aloe and slippery elm and marshmallow and blueberries and okra.
We actually have a product called Ulcitrol, which has a zinc carnosine mastic gum.
That's a great one. That's Lonzo's trademark. And that's mastic gum and the zinc carnosinate. And that stuff's great. So
speaking real quickly of the DGL, you know, and I've just gotten a lot of information, did a little research. My good friend Terry Limeron, I was listening to one of his lectures.
Genius.
He, isn't he? He is phenomenal. I just love the guy. Anyway, the DGL, actually the original studies that they got this idea about it increasing your blood pressure was from these people eating a bunch of licorice candy.
That's right. I've read that too.
Yeah, and so really the actual DGL, and they take out the glycerol or whatever in there.
The glycyrrhetinic acid. Yes. Yeah, they do. And you know, you don't need to. Honestly, regular licorice is not as dangerous for people as they think.
Right.
Licorice got a bad reputation that it really didn't deserve.
Right.
It's much safer than people think. I did have a guy once who loved licorice, and he'd have to eat like a bag of it before he could even measure it. And he was a guy who loved to measure. So I've actually seen some anecdotal cases where even people who were eating tons of licorice candy could barely notice it. And they were doing, you know, a sleeve blood pressure test multiple times a day.
So it was kind of one of those urban legends, I think.
I think it is, But in any case, I don't want to bury the tangent here and say that, you know, we need to repair the stomach before we can start replacing the acid. And the way you use the betaine, first off, never open up the pills because they taste like vomit. But you want to start with one pill a day.
Okay.
And basically, that's just a challenge to make sure it doesn't burn and irritate you. It's not near enough to do anything.
Right.
But it's just to make sure you can tolerate it. And then on the second day, go to 2. And then on the third day, go to 3. And when I say go to 3, go to 2, I'm talking about with meals that contain protein.
Okay.
Please never take betaine if you're eating watermelon, because it will give you the burns. It'll hurt.
Right, right.
So you only want to do it with protein, which is how your stomach would normally do it. Your stomach only secretes acid when it measures protein being chewed up and consumed.
Right.
If you're eating fruit, it's not going to secrete acid much.
Okay.
So you slowly work up to a level with your betaine to where it actually, you'll get to a threshold where one extra pill starts to burn and become a little hotter and a little heavier in your gut. And then you'll know when you hit that level that you've gone a little bit too high and you can back down to one less pill. So let's say if you took 5 pills and it felt great and your digestion was working better, but on the 7th day you go to the 6th pill and the 6th pill makes it kind of burn and heavy, then you now know that 5 pills is your dose.
Okay.
You're basically titrating upwards to find where the threshold is for your stomach. And I'll tell you a story. When I first took it, I could take over 20.
Wow.
But it never burned. My stomach acid levels were so low that it was like I could eat a whole bottle.
Wow.
And I would tell those people, if they're having that, just stop at 9, because it just takes too many pills and it's too expensive.
Right, right.
But at 9, most people require between 5 and 9 per day, and that's according to Dr. Jonathan Wright, who you quoted earlier.
Right.
He's a genius.
Yes.
And basically, this can be taken right at the beginning of meals, and it is sometimes life-changing. I mean, all of a sudden, they're absorbing protein and minerals into their blood.
Yeah, and then they start
And their organs
better.
And glands were starving for minerals and protein before.
Right.
So
right.
all these metabolic feedback loops start coming online again. Their thyroid starts working. Their adrenals start working. Their brain starts working.
Okay, now we're going to need to know about the fourth R here pretty quickly.
The fourth one is repair. Oh, and by the way, the third one's replace. That includes digestive enzymes. I would recommend the raw enzymes.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
our new digest chewable enzyme. Either one. Full spectrum enzymes right in the middle or end of meals.
Mm-hmm.
And this will help break everything down. With the acids and the enzymes, we'll make sure that no proteins or fats go into the gut intact. We don't want that stuff getting in there and bashing around and chewing up our immune system and stirring up our biome.
Awesome.
So the fourth R is repair, and this is just bone stock soup, glutamine powder, vitamin A from, either cod liver oil or egg yolks or butter or cheese.
Okay.
We got to have vitamin A to make sure we can build the proteins that repair our mucosa.
Right.
So it's just making sure, and really the most important one, I think, is the traditional soup stock.
Okay, yeah.
Traditional soup stock there's a reason that traditional Ayurvedic practitioners always have revered it, and the reason that traditional Chinese practitioners have always revered it. It is so special because of the amino acids and the way it coats the bowel surface and helps lengthen the villi and really seal the gut. So, probiotics, enzymes,
so it's good for the
and betaine and
right.
bone stock soup.
So that's good for the upper and lower GI.
It then. Really is.
Yeah.
Especially for the villi, the little hair-like
awesome.
Tendrils off the gut. And just sealing up those tight junctions in the lower digestive tract. I think that bone stock soup is one of the most healing foods ever discovered for the gut.
Wow. Well, there's a lot in that.
Yeah.
I mean, you call it bone stock soup.
Yeah, or traditional soup stock. It's what the
okay.
French would just call stock.
Okay, yeah. There's beef and chicken and all that.
Fish
yeah,
fish stock. Making fish stock makes your whole house smell like fish.
Yeah.
So I don't really recommend that one.
Yeah, I think I've seen Julia Childs do that on an old show a long time ago.
Yeah.
So. Okay, let's go through these four again so people can get kind of an idea
Perfect.
Real quickly.
Yeah, so number one, remove. We just got to cut off all the irritants, the
right.
flour and the sugar mostly.
Right.
Number two is re-inoculate. And we're talking about putting the good critters back in
probiotics.
Your colon, trying to shift the ecosystem back for the good guy strains.
Right.
I recommend either the raw probiotics from Garden of Life, or if you have our new doctor formulated line, I love
yes.
the new Once Daily Ultra. That one works well too.
The Dr. Perlmutter?
Yeah,
yeah.
The Perlmutter line is amazing.
Phenomenal.
So then step three is replace. And I recommend the raw enzymes to be taken at the near the end of meals or
okay.
at the very end or right after is fine too.
Okay.
And then betaine, always make sure it's in a capsule with
right.
your betaine and always make sure it has pepsin. And
okay.
I know the ones you do.
Yes,
do.
Yes.
And take those in a titrate up to find the right dose. You can find that, that little directive that we went through, you can find that little guide on millions of websites and books. It's
okay.
in Jonathan Wright's book. It's in a million different websites. I'll send that over to you, Mike.
Awesome.
I have a version.
Awesome.
And then I recommend bitters. If you have a good digestive bitters, there's
yes.
many good ones, but those can be taken after meals to help build up your liver and your pancreas in terms
right.
of their secretions over time. And then the final step is repair. And this involves eating lots of bone stock soup. I recommend making that almost a near daily, food. And then taking glutamine powder. I recommend 5 grams a day.
Okay, to rebuild.
Some people get right. headaches from it if they're glutamine sensitive.
Right.
That's very rare, but I've run into it once, so
okay.
I was quite careful now. But glutamine can really help repair the intestinal cells also, just like
awesome.
Bone stock.
Well, Bruce, this is wonderful. This is great information. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll be talking about more things in the future. You're just a wealth of great information.
I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. The preceding information was not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Always seek the advice of your qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.